This is Audible.
Penguin Random House Audio presents Angels in America, A Gay Fantasia on National Themes by Tony Kushner. Starring Andrew Garfield, Nathan Lane, Susan Brown, Denise Goff, Beth Malone, James McArdle, Lee Pace, Nathan Stewart Jarrett. With narration by Bobby Cannavale and Edie Falco. Based on the National Theatre production, directed by Marianne Elliott. Part 1. Millennium Approaches. Act 1. Bad News. October to November 1985. Scene 1. The end of October. Rabbi Isidore Hemelvitz alone on stage with a small coffin. It is a rough pine box with two wooden pegs, one at the foot and one at the head, holding the lid in place. A prayer shawl embroidered with a Star of David is draped over the lid, and at the head of the coffin, a yahrzeit candle is burning. The rabbi speaks sonorously, with a heavy Eastern European accent, unapologetically consulting a sheet of notes for the family names.
Hello, and good morning. I am Rabbi Isidore Hemelvitz of the Bronx Home for Aged Hebrews. We are here this morning to pay respects at the passing of Sarah Ironson, devoted wife of Benjamin Ironson, also deceased, loving and caring mother of her sons, Morris, Abraham, and Samuel, and her daughters, Esther and Rachel. Beloved grandmother of Max, Mark, Louis, Lisa, Maria. Leslie, Angela, Doris, Luke, and Eric. Eric? This is a Jewish name? Eric. A large and loving family. Be assembled that we may mourn collectively this good and righteous woman. This woman. I did not know this woman. I cannot accurately describe her attributes, nor do justice to her dimensions. She was there in the Bronx Home for Aged Hebrews, are many like this, the old. And to many I speak, but not to be frank with this one. She preferred silence. So, I do not know her. And yet, I know her. She was not a person, but a whole kind of person. The ones who crossed the ocean, who brought with us to America the villages of Russia and Lithuania, and how we struggled, and how we fought for the family, for the Jewish home, so that you would not grow up here, in this strange place, in the melting pot where nothing melted. Descendants of this immigrant woman. You do not grow up in America, you and your children and their children with the Goyish names. You do not live in America. No such place exists. Your clay is the clay of some Litvak shtetl, your air the air of the steppes, because she carried the old world on her back across the ocean in a boat, and she put it down on Grand Concourse Avenue. Or in Flatbush. And she worked that earth into your bones, and you pass it to your children, this ancient, ancient culture and home. You can never make that crossing that she made, for such great voyages in this world do not any more exist. But every day of your lives, the miles that voyage between that place and this one, you cross every day. You understand me? In you, that journey is. So, she was the last of the Mohicans, this one was. Pretty soon, all the old will be dead.
Scene 2, same day. Roy and Joe in Roy's office. Roy at an impressive desk, bare except for a very elaborate phone system, rows and rows of flashing buttons that bleep and beep and whistle incessantly, making chaotic music underneath Roy's conversations. Joe is sitting, waiting. Roy conducts business with great energy, impatience, and sensual abandon, gesticulating, shouting, cajoling, crooning, playing the phone's receiver, its hold button, and the buttons for its numerous lines with virtuosity and love.
Hold. 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 Whew, I wish I was an octopus. A fucking octopus. 8 loving arms and all those suckers. Know what I mean?
No, I...
You want lunch?
No, that's okay, really. I just...
Aileen! Roy Cohn! Now, what kind of a greeting is... I thought we were friends, eh? Look, Mrs. Sofa, you don't have to get... You're upset. You're yelling. You'll aggravate your condition. You shouldn't yell. You'll pop little blood vessels in your face if you yell. No, that was a joke, Mrs. Sofer. I was joking. I already apologized 16 times for that, Mrs. Sofer. This'll take a minute. Eat already. What is this tasty sandwich here? It's, liver. Or some... Here. No, I already told you. It wasn't a vacation. It was business, Mrs. Sulfur. I have clients in Haiti, Mrs. Sulfur. Listen, Aileen. You think I'm the only goddamn lawyer in history ever missed a court date? Don't make such a big fucking hold, you hag.
If this is a bad time...
Bad time? This is a good time. Baby doll, get me... Oh, fuck, wait. Hello? Yeah, sorry to keep you holding, Judge Hollins. Mrs. Hollins. Sorry, dear. Deep voice you got. Enjoying your visit? She sounds like a truck driver, and he sounds like Kate Smith. Very confusing. Nixon appointed him. All the geeks are Nixon appointees. Yeah, right. Good. So how many tickets, dear? 7? For what, Cads? 42nd Street, what? No, you wouldn't like Lacage. Trust me, I know. Oh, for God's sake, hold! Baby doll, 7 for Cats or something. Anything hard to get. I don't give a fuck what, and neither will they. Oh, you see Lacage?
No, I...
Fabulous. Best thing on Broadway. Maybe ever. Who? Oh, Jesus H. Christ, Harry. No, Harry. Judge John Francis Grimes, Manhattan Family Court. Do I have to do every goddamn thing myself? Touch the bastard, Harry. And don't call me on this line again. I told you not to.
Roy, should I wait outside, or...
Oh, Sid. You hold! I pay you to hold. Fuck you, Harry, you jerk. Half-wit dick brain. I see the universe, Joe. It's a kind of sandstorm in outer space with winds of mega-hurricane velocity. But instead of grains of sand, it's shards and splinters of glass. You ever feel that way? Ever have one of those days?
I'm not sure I...
So how's life in appeals? How's the judge?
He sends his best.
He's a good man. Loyal. Not the brightest man on the bench, but he has manners. And a nice head of silver hair.
He gives me a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, like writing his decisions and signing his name.
Well...
He's a nice guy. And you cover admirably.
Well, thanks, Roy.
Yeah? Who is this? Well, who the fuck are you? Hold! Harry! 87 grand. Something like that. Fuck him! Eat me! New Jersey. Chain of porno film stores in, Weehawken. That, Harry, that's the beauty of the law. So, baby doll, what? Cats? Cats! It's about cats. Singing cats. You'll love it. 8 o'clock. The theater's always at 8. Fucking tourists. Oh, live a little, Joe. Eat something, for Christ's sake.
Roy, could you...
What? Hold a minute, Mrs. Sulfur. Mrs... Oh, God. Fucking damn it to hell. Where is...
Roy, I'd really appreciate it if you...
Well, she was here a minute ago, baby doll. See you... Jesus, fuck this goddamn thing.
I really wish you
baby
wouldn't.
Baby doll, ring the post. Get me Susie. See if... Christ!
Roy!
Hold. What?
Could you please not take the Lord's name in vain? I'm sorry, but... Please. At least while I'm...
Right. Sorry. Fuck. Only in America... Baby doll, tell him all to fuck off. Tell him I died. You handle Mrs. Sulfur. Tell her it's on the way. Tell her I'm stooping the judge. I'll call her back. I will call her. I know how much I borrowed. She's got 400 times that, stuffed up her... Yeah, tell her I said that. So, Joe...
I'm sorry, Roy. I just...
No. Principles count. I respect principles. I'm not religious, but I like God and God likes me. Baptist? Catholic?
Mormon.
Delectable. Absolutely. Only in America. So, Joe, what do you think?
It's... Well...
Crazy life.
Chaotic.
Well, but God bless chaos, right?
Mormons.
I knew Mormons in, Nevada.
Utah, mostly.
No, these Mormons were in Vegas. So, how'd you like to go to Washington and work for the Justice Department?
Sorry?
How'd you like to go to Washington and work for the Justice Department? All I gotta do is pick up the phone, talk to Ed, and you're in.
In what exactly?
Associate, assistant, something big. Internal affairs, heart of the woods, something nice with clout.
Ed?
Meese, the Attorney General.
Oh.
I just have to pick up the phone.
I have to think.
Of course. It's a great time to be in Washington, Joe.
Roy, it's incredibly exciting.
And it would mean something to me. You understand?
I can't say how much I appreciate this, Roy. I'm sort of, well, stunned. I mean, thanks, Roy. But I have to give it some thought. I have to ask my wife.
Your wife? Of course.
But I really appreciate...
Of course. Talk to your wife.
Scene 3, same day. Harper at home, alone, as she often is, listening to the radio.
People who are lonely, well, people left alone, sit talking nonsense to the air, imagining beautiful systems dying, old fixed orders spiraling apart. When you look at the ozone layer from outside, from a spaceship, it looks like a pale blue halo, a gentle, shimmering aureole encircling the atmosphere, encircling the Earth, 30 miles above our heads. A thin layer of three-atom oxygen molecules. It's a product of photosynthesis, which explains the fussy vegetable preference for visible light. Its rejection of darker rays and emanations, danger from without. It's a kind of gift from God. The crowning touch to the creation of the world. Guardian angels, hands linked to make a spherical net, a blue-green nesting orb, a shell of safety for life itself. But everywhere, things are collapsing. Lies surfacing, systems of defense giving way. This is why, Joe, this is why I shouldn't be left alone. I'd like to go traveling. Leave you behind to worry. I'll send postcards with strange stamps and tantalizing messages on the back. Later, maybe. Nevermore.
Mr. Lies, a travel agent, appears carrying a briefcase.
Oh, you startled me.
Cash, check, or credit card?
I remember you. You're from Salt Lake. You sold us the plane tickets when we flew here. What are you doing in Brooklyn?
You said you wanted to travel.
And here you are. How thoughtful.
Mr. Lies, of the International Order of Travel Agents. We mobilize the globe. We set people adrift. We stir the populace and send nomads eddying across the planet. We are adepts of motion, acolytes of the flux. Cash, check, or credit card. Name your destination.
Antarctica, maybe. I want to see the hole in the ozone. I heard on the radio.
I can arrange a guided tour. Now?
Soon. Maybe soon. I'm not safe here, you see. Things aren't right with me. Weird stuff happens.
Like?
Well, like you, for instance, just appearing. Or last week... Well, never mind. People are like planets. You need a thick skin. Things get to me. Joe stays away, and now... Well, look, my dreams are talking back to me.
It's the price of rootlessness, motion sickness. The only cure? To keep moving.
I'm undecided. I feel that something's going to give. It's 1985, 15 years till the third millennium. Maybe Christ will come again. Maybe seeds will be planted. Maybe there'll be harvests then. Maybe early figs to eat. Maybe new life. Maybe fresh blood. Maybe companionship and love and protection. Safety from what's outside. Maybe the door will hold. Or maybe... Maybe the troubles will come, and the end will come, and the sky will collapse, and there will be terrible rains and showers of poison light. Or maybe my life is really fine. Maybe Joe loves me, and I'm only crazy thinking otherwise. Or maybe not. Maybe it's even worse than I know. Maybe... I want to know. Maybe I don't. The suspense, Mr. Lies, it's killing me.
I suggest a vacation.
That was the elevator. Oh, God, I should fix myself up. You have to go. You shouldn't be here. You aren't even real.
Call me when you decide.
Go.
Mr. Lies vanishes as Joe enters.
Buddy? Buddy, sorry I'm late. I was just out walking. Are you mad?
I got a little anxious.
Buddy, kiss. Nothing to get anxious about. So how would you like to move to Washington?
Scene 4. Same day. Lewis and Pryor sitting outside on a bench near an Upper West Side funeral home, both dressed in funereal finery. Pryor is elegant. Lewis is rumpled, negligent. The funeral service for Sarah Ironson has just concluded, and Lewis is about to leave for the cemetery.
You know, my grandmother actually saw Emma Goldman speak in Yiddish, but all Grandma could remember was that she spoke well and wore a hat. Oh, God, what a weird service, you know, that rabbi?
Ugh. A definite find. Get his number when you go to the graveyard. I want him to bury me.
Better head out there. Everyone gets to put dirt on the coffin once it's lowered in.
Oh, hoo-hoo. Cemetery fun. Don't want to miss that.
Well, it's an old Jewish custom to express love. Here, Grandma, have a shovel full. Latecomers run the risk of finding the grave completely filled. God, she was pretty crazy. She was up there in that home for 10 years talking to herself. I never visited. She looked too much like my mother.
Oh, poor Lewis. I'm sorry your grandma's dead.
Tiny little coffin, huh? I'm sorry I didn't introduce you to... I always get so closety at these family things.
Butch. You get Butch. Hey, cousin Doris, you don't remember me, but I'm Lou, is Rachel's boy, is Lou.
It's not Lewis. Because if you say Lewis, they'll hear the sibilant S.
I don't have a...
I don't blame you hiding bloodlines. Jewish curses are the worst. I personally would dissolve if anyone ever looked me in the eye and said, Fech. Fortunately, wasps don't say Fech. Oh, and by the way, darling, cousin Doris is a dyke.
No. Really?
You don't notice anything. If I hadn't spent the last 4 years filleting you, I'd swear you were straight.
You're in a pissy mood. Cat still missing?
Not a furball in sight. And it's your fault.
It is.
I warned you, Lewis. Names are important. Call an animal Little Sheba. You can't expect it to stick around. And besides, it's a dog's name.
Well, I wanted a dog in the first place, not a cat. He sprayed my books.
He was a female cat.
Cats are stupid, high-strung predators. Babylonians sealed them up in bricks. Dogs have brains.
Cats have intuition.
A sharp dog is as smart as a really dull 2-year-old child.
Cats know when something's wrong.
Only if you stop feeding them.
They know. That's why Sheba left, because she knew.
Knew what?
I did my best, Shirley Booth, this morning, with the floppy slippers, the house coat, the curlers, the can of little friskies. Come back, little Sheba. Come back. To no avail. Le chat, elle ne reviendra. Jamais, jamais.
He removes his jacket, rolls up his sleeve, shows Lewis a dark purple spot on the underside of his arm near the shoulder.
See?
That's just a burst blood vessel.
Not according to the best medical authorities.
What? Tell me.
KS, baby. Lesion number one. Look at the wine dark kiss of the angel of death.
Please.
I'm a legionnaire. The foreign legion, the American legion, legionnaire's disease.
Stop.
My troubles are legion.
Will you stop?
Well, don't you think I'm handling this well? I'm going to die.
Bullshit.
Let go of my arm.
No.
Let go. I can't find a way to spare you, baby. There's no wall like the wall of heart scientific fact. KS, wham, bang your head on that.
Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you!
Now that's what I like to hear, a mature reaction. Let's go see if the cat's come home. Lewis.
When did you find this?
I couldn't tell you.
Why?
I was scared, Lou.
Of what?
That you'll leave me.
Oh.
Ugh, it's bad timing, funeral and all. Well, I just figured as long as we're on the subject of death.
I have to go bury my grandma.
Lou. And then you'll come home.
Then I'll come home.
C. Scene 5. Same day. Split scene. Joe and Harper at home as before. Lewis at the cemetery after his family has gone, lingering behind, staring down at Sarah Ironson's coffin in her open grave.
Washington.
It's an incredible honor, buddy, and
I have to think.
Of course.
Say no.
You said you were gonna think about it.
I don't want to move to Washington.
Well, I do.
It's a giant cemetery. Huge white graves and mausoleums everywhere.
We could live in Maryland or Georgetown.
We're happy here.
That's not really true, buddy. We...
Well, happy enough. Pretend happy. That's better than nothing.
It's time to make some changes, Harper.
No changes. Why?
I've been chief clerk for 4 years. I make $29,000 a year. That's ridiculous. I graduated fourth in my class. I make less than anyone I know, and I'm tired of being a clerk. I want to go where something good is happening.
Nothing good happens in Washington. We'll forget church teachings and buy furniture at Conrad's and become yuppies. I have too much to do here.
Like what?
I do have things.
What things?
I have to finish painting the bedroom.
You've been painting there for over a year.
I know. It just isn't done because I never get time to finish it.
Oh, that doesn't make sense. You've got all the time in the world. You could finish while I'm at work.
I'm afraid to go in there alone.
Afraid of what?
I heard someone in there. Metal scraping on the wall. A man with a knife, maybe.
There's no one in the bedroom, Harper.
Well, not now.
Not this morning, either.
How do you know? You were at work this morning. There's something creepy about this place. Remember Rosemary's Baby?
Rosemary's Baby?
Our apartment looks like that one. Wasn't that apartment in Brooklyn?
No, it was...
Well, it looked like this. It did.
Then let's move.
Georgetown's worse. The Exorcist was in Georgetown.
The devil. Everywhere you turn, huh, buddy?
Yeah, everywhere.
How many pills today, buddy?
None. One. Three. Only three.
At the cemetery, Rabbi Isidore Hemelvitz, heading home, walks past Lewis, who is still staring into the grave. Lewis stops the rabbi with a question.
Why are there just two little wooden pegs holding the lid down?
So she can get out easier if she wants to.
I hope she stays put. I pretended for years that she was already dead, so when they called to say that she had died, that it was a surprise. You know, I abandoned her.
Scharfe bietet som funa schlanki, son undankbar kind.
I don't speak Yiddish.
Sharper than the serpent's tooth is the ingratitude of children. Shakespeare, Kiniglia.
Rabbi, what does the Holy Writ say about someone who abandons someone he loves at a time of great need?
Why would a person do such a thing?
Because he has to. Maybe because this person's sense of the world, that it will change for the better with struggle. Again, maybe a person who has this neo-Hegelian positivist sense of constant historical progress towards happiness or perfection or something, and who feels very powerful because he feels connected to these forces moving uphill all the time. So maybe that person can't incorporate sickness into his sense of how things are supposed to go. Maybe vomit and sores and disease really frighten him. Maybe he isn't so good with death.
The Holy Scriptures have nothing to say about such a person.
Rabbi, I am afraid of the crimes that I may commit.
Please, mister. I'm a sick old rabbi facing a long drive home to the Bronx. You want to confess? Better you should find a priest.
But I'm not a Catholic, I'm a Jew.
Worse luck for you, Bubala. Catholics believe in forgiveness. Jews believe in guilt.
No, you just make sure those pegs are in, good and tight.
Don't worry, mister. The life she had, she'll stay put. She's better off.
Look, I know this is scary for you, but try to understand what it means to me. Will you try?
Yes.
Good. Really try. I think things are starting to change in the world.
But I don't want...
Wait, for the good. Change for the good. America has rediscovered itself, its sacred position among nations, and people aren't ashamed of that like they used to be. This is a great thing. Truth restored, law restored. That's what President Reagan's done, Harper. He says truth exists and can be spoken proudly. And the country responds to him. We become better, more good. I need to be a part of that. I need something big to lift me up. I mean, 6 years ago, the world seemed in decline, horrible, hopeless, full of unsolvable problems and crime and confusion and hunger and...
But it still seems that way, more now than before. They say the ozone layer is...
Harper!
And today, out of the window on Atlantic Avenue, there was this schizophrenic traffic cop who was making all
this... Stop it! I'm trying to make a point!
So am I.
You aren't even making sense.
My point is the world seems just...
It only seems that way to you because you never go out in the world, Harper. And you have emotional problems.
I do so get out in the world.
You don't! You stay in all day, fretting about imaginary...
I get out. I do. You don't know what I do.
You don't stay in all day?
No.
Well, yes, you do.
That's what you think.
Where do you go?
Where do you go? When you walk. And I do not have emotional problems.
I'm sorry.
And if I do have emotional problems, it's from living with you or...
I'm sorry, buddy. I didn't mean to...
Or if you do think that I do, then you never should have married me. You have all these secrets and lies.
I want to be married to you, Harper.
You shouldn't. You never should. Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy.
Buddy, kiss.
I heard on the radio how to give a blowjob.
What?
You want to try?
You really shouldn't listen to stuff like that.
Mormons can give blowjobs.
Harper.
Joe. It was a little Jewish lady with a German accent. This is a good time for me to make a baby.
Joe turns away from her, then leaves the living room.
Then they went on to a program about holes in the ozone layer over Antarctica. Skin burns, birds go blind, icebergs melt. The world's coming to an end.
Scene 6. First week of November. In the men's room of the offices of the Brooklyn Federal Court of Appeals, Lewis is crying over the sink. Joe enters.
Morning.
Oh, good morning, Counselor.
Sorry, I don't know your name.
Oh, God, don't bother. Word processor, the lowest of the low.
Joe Pitt. I'm with Justice Wilson.
Oh, come on. Well, I know that. Counselor Pitt, Chief Clerk.
Are you okay?
Oh, yeah, thanks. Oh, what a nice man.
Not so nice.
What?
Not so nice. Nothing. Are you sure you're...
Life sucks shit. No, life... It just sucks shit.
What's wrong?
Running my nylons.
Sorry?
Forget it. Look, thanks for asking.
Well...
No, I mean, it really is nice of you. Get this. Sorry. Sick friend.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that's sweet. Three of your colleagues preceded you to this baleful sight, and you're the first one to ask. The others just opened the door, saw me, and fled. I hope they had to pee real bad.
They just didn't want to intrude.
Reaganite, heartless, macho, asshole lawyers.
Oh, that's unfair.
What is heartless, macho, Reaganite lawyer?
I voted for Reagan.
You did?
Twice.
Twice? Wow, oh boy. A gay Republican.
Excuse me?
Nothing.
I'm not. Forget it.
What, Republican? You're not Republican or...
What?
What?
Not gay. I'm not gay.
Oh. I'm sorry. It's...
It's just...
Yes?
It's, well, sometimes you can tell, you know, from the way a person sounds that there's... I mean, you sound like a...
No, I don't. Like what?
Like a Republican.
Do I? Sound like a...
What, like a what, Republican or that... I mean, do I?
Do you what?
Sound like a...
Like, I'm confused.
Yes. My name's Louis, but all my friends call me Louise. I work in word processing. Thanks for the toilet paper.
Scene 7. A week later. Mutual dream scene. Pryor is dreaming that he's at a fantastic makeup table applying his face. Harper is having a pill-induced hallucination. She has these from time to time. For some reason, Pryor has appeared in this one, or Harper has appeared in Pryor's dream. It is bewildering.
I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille. One wants to move through life with elegance and grace, blossoming infrequently but with exquisite taste and perfect timing, like a rare bloom, a zebra orchid. One wants, but one so seldom gets what one wants, does one? No, one does not. One gets fucked over. One dies at 30, robbed of decades of majesty. Oh, fuck this shit. Fuck this shit. Oh, I look like a corpse. A corpset. Oh, my queen. You know you've hit rock bottom when even drag is a drag.
Harper appears.
Are you? Who are you?
Who are you?
What are you doing in my hallucination?
I'm not in your hallucination. You're in my dream.
You're wearing makeup.
So are you.
But you're a man.
The hands and feet give it away.
There must be some mistake here. I don't recognize you. You're not... Are you my... some sort of imaginary friend?
No. Aren't you too old to have imaginary friends?
I have emotional problems. I took too many pills. Why are you wearing makeup?
I was in the process of applying the face. I was trying to make myself feel better. I swiped the new fall colors at the Clinique counter at Macy's.
You stole them?
I was out of cash. It was an emotional emergency.
Joe will be so angry. I promised him no more pills.
These pills you keep alluding to?
Valium. Oh. I take Valium. Lots of Valium.
And you're dancing as fast as you can.
I'm not addicted. I don't believe in addiction. And I never... Well, I never drink. And I never take drugs.
Well, smell you, Nancy Drew.
Except Valium.
Oh, except Valium in wee fistfuls.
It's terrible. Mormons aren't supposed to be addicted to anything. I'm a Mormon.
I'm a homosexual.
Oh. In my church, we don't believe in homosexuals.
In my church, we don't believe in Mormons.
What church do you... Oh. I get it. I don't understand this. If I didn't ever see you before, and I don't think I did, And I don't think you should be here, in this hallucination, because in my experience, the mind, which is where hallucinations come from, shouldn't be able to make up anything that wasn't there to start with, that didn't enter it from experience, from the real world. Imagination can't create anything new, can it? It only recycles bits and pieces from the world and reassembles them into visions. Am I making sense right now?
Given the circumstances, yes.
So when we think we've escaped the unbearable ordinariness and, well, untruthfulness of our lives, it's really only the same old ordinariness and falseness rearranged into the appearance of novelty and truth. Nothing unknown is knowable. Don't you think it's depressing?
The limitations of the imagination?
Yes.
It's something you learn after your second theme party. It's all been done before.
The world. Finite. Terribly. Terribly. Wow. This is the most depressing hallucination I've ever had.
Well, apologies. I do try to be amusing.
Oh, well, don't apologize. I can't expect someone who's really sick to entertain me.
How on earth did you
know? Oh, that happens. This is the very threshold of revelation sometimes. You can see things. How sick you are. Do you see anything about me?
Yes.
What?
You are amazingly unhappy.
Oh, big deal. You meet a Valium addict and you figure she's unhappy? That doesn't count. Of course I... Something else. Something surprising.
Something surprising?
Yes.
Your husband's a homo.
Oh, ridiculous. Really?
Threshold of revelation.
Well, I don't like your revelations. I don't think you intuit very well at all. Joe is a very normal man. Oh, God. Oh, God. Do homos take, like, lots of long walks?
Yes, we do. In stretch pants with lavender coifs up and down the avenues of Sodom, we walk doomed. Doomed. I looked at you, and there was this...
A sort of blue streak of recognition?
Yes.
Like you knew me incredibly well.
Yes.
Yes. I have to go now. Get back. Something just fell apart. Oh, God, I feel so sad.
Oh, I'm sorry. I usually say fuck the truth, but mostly the truth fucks you.
I see something else about you.
Oh.
Deep inside you, there's a part of you, the most inner part, entirely free of disease. I can see that.
Is that... No, that isn't true.
Threshold of revelation. Home.
She vanishes.
People come and go so quickly here. I don't think there's any uninfected part of me. My heart is pumping polluted blood. I feel dirty.
He starts to wipe off his makeup. Suddenly, he smears it furiously around. A large gray feather falls from above. Pryor stops smearing the makeup and looks at the feather. He goes to it and picks it up.
Look up.
Hello?
Look up.
Who is that?
Prepare the way.
I don't see any...
Look up. Look up. Prepare the way. The infinite descent. A breath in air. Floating down. Glory to...
Hello? Is that it? Hello? What the fuck? Oh, poor me. Poor me. Why me? Why, poor, poor me? Oh, I don't feel good right now. I really don't.
Scene 8. That night. Split scene. Pryor and Lewis in their bed. Lewis reading, Pryor cuddled next to him. Harper in Brooklyn, alone. Joe enters.
Where were you?
Out.
Where?
Just out, thinking.
It's late.
I had a lot to think about.
I burned dinner.
Sorry.
Oh, not my dinner. My dinner was fine. Your dinner. I put it back in the oven and turned everything up as high as it could go, and I watched till it burned black. It's still hot. Very hot. You want it?
You didn't have to do that.
I know. It just seemed like the kind of thing a mentally deranged, sex-starved, pill-popping housewife would do.
Uh-huh.
So I did it. Who knows anymore what I have to do?
How many pills?
A bunch. Don't change the subject.
I won't talk to you when you...
No, don't do that. I'm fine. Pills are not the problem. Not our... problem. I want to know where you've been. I want to know what's going on.
Going on with what? The job?
Not the job.
I said I need more time.
Not the job.
Mr. Cohn, I talked to him on the phone. He said
not
I have to hurry, but I can't get you to talk sensibly about
Shut
anything.
Up.
Then what?
Stick to the subject.
I don't know what that is. You have something you want to ask me. Ask me. Go.
I can't. I'm scared of you.
I'm tired. I'm going to bed.
Tell me without making me ask, please.
This is crazy. I'm not.
When you come through the door at night, your face is never exactly the way I remembered it. I get surprised by something mean and hard about the way you look. Even the weight of you in the bed at night, the way you breathe in your sleep seems unfamiliar. You terrify me.
I know who you are.
Oh, yes, I'm the enemy. That's easy. That doesn't change. You think you're the only one who hates sex? I do. I hate it with you. I do. I dream that you batter away at me till all my joints come apart like wax and I fall into pieces. It's like a punishment. It was wrong of me to marry you. I knew you. It's a sin. And it's killing us both.
I can always tell when you've taken pills because it makes you red-faced and sweaty. And frankly, that is very often why I don't want
because?
To...
Because?
Well, you aren't pretty. Not like this.
I have something to ask you.
Then ask! Ask! What in hell
are you?
Are you
a homo? Are you? If you try to walk out right now, I'll put your dinner back in the oven and turn it up so high the whole building will fill with smoke and everyone in it will asphyxiate, so help me God, I will. Now answer the question.
What if I...
Then tell me, please, and we'll see.
No, I'm not. I don't see what difference it makes.
Lewis and Pryor are lying on the bed, Pryor's head resting on Lewis's chest.
Jews don't have any clear textual guide to the afterlife, even that it exists. I don't think much about it. I see it as a perpetual rainy Thursday afternoon in March. Dead leaves.
Ugh, very Greco-Roman.
Well, for us, it's not the verdict that counts. It's the act of judgment. That's why I could never be a lawyer. In court, all that matters is the verdict.
You could never be a lawyer because you're oversexed. You're too distracted.
Not distracted, abstracted. I'm trying to make a point.
Namely?
It's the judge in his or her chambers weighing. Books open, pondering the evidence ranging freely over categories. Good, evil, innocent, guilty. The judge in the chamber of circumspection. Not the judge on the bench with the gavel, the shaping of the law, not its execution.
The point, dear, the point!
It should be the questions and shape of life, that its total complexity gathered, arranged, and considered, which matters in the end, not some stamp of salvation or damnation which disperses all the complexity in some unsatisfying little decision. That, the balancing of the scales.
Oh, I like this. It's very zen. It's It's reassuringly incomprehensible and useless. We who are about to die, thank you.
You are not about to die.
It's not going well, really. Two new lesions. My leg hurts, and there's protein in my urine, the doctor says, but who knows what the fuck that portends. Anyway, it shouldn't be there, the protein. My butt is chapped from diarrhea, and yesterday I shat blood.
I really hate this. You don't tell me.
You get too upset. I wind up comforting you. It's easier if I...
Oh, thanks.
If it's bad, I'll tell you.
Well, shitting blood sounds bad to me.
And I'm telling you.
And I'm handling it.
Tell me some more about justice.
I am handling it.
Well, Lewis, you win, Trooper of the Month! I take it back. You aren't Trooper of the Month. Well, this isn't working. Tell me some more about justice.
You are not about to die.
Justice.
It's an immensity. It's a confusing vastness. Justice is God.
Prior.
Hmm?
You love me.
Yes.
What if I walked out on this? Would you hate me forever?
Prior kisses Lewis on the forehead.
Yes.
I think we ought to pray. Ask God for help. Ask him together.
God won't talk to me. I have to make up people to talk to me.
You have to keep asking.
I forgot the question. Oh yeah, God is my husband.
Stop it! Stop it! I'm warning you! Does it make any difference that I might be one thing deep within, no matter how wrong or ugly that thing is, so long as I have fought with everything I have to kill it? What do you want from me? What do you want from me, Harper? More than that? For God's sake, there's nothing left. I'm a shell. There's nothing left to kill. As long as my behavior is what I know it has to be, decent, correct, that alone, in the eyes of God.
No, no, not that. That's Utah talk. That's Mormon talk. I hate it, Joe. Tell me, please, just say it.
All I will say is that I am a very good man who has worked very hard to become good, and you want to destroy that. You want to destroy me, and I'm not going to let you do that.
I'm going to have a baby.
Liar.
You liar. A baby born addicted to pills. A baby who does not dream, but who hallucinates, who stares up at us with big mirror eyes, and who does not know who we are.
Are you really?
No. Yes. No. Yes. Get away from me. Now we both have a secret.
Joe leaves the room.
One of my ancestors was a ship's captain who made money bringing whale oil to Europe and then returning with immigrants, Irish mostly, packed in tight, so many dollars per head. And the last ship he captained foundered off the coast of Nova Scotia in a winter tempest and sank to the bottom. And he went down with the ship, La Grande Geste. But his crew took 70 women and kids in the ship's only longboat, this big open rowboat, and when the weather got too rough and they thought the boat was overcrowded, the crew started lifting people up and hurling them into the sea until they got the ballast right. They walked up and down the longboat, eyes to the waterline, and when the boat rode low in the water, they grabbed the nearest passenger and they threw them into the sea. The boat was leaky, see, 70 people, and they arrived in Halifax with 9 people on board.
Jesus.
I think about that story a lot now. People in a boat, waiting, terrified, while implacable, unsmiling men, irresistibly strong, sees maybe the person next to you, maybe you, and with no warning at all, with time only for a quick intake of air, you are pitched into freezing, turbulent water and salt and darkness to drown. I like your cosmology, baby. While time is running out, I find myself drawn to anything that's suspended, that lacks an ending. But it seems to me it lets you off scot-free.
What do you mean?
Well, no judgment, no guilt or responsibility.
Well, for me?
For anyone. It was an editorial you.
Please get better, please. Please don't get any sicker.
Scene 9. A week later, Roy and Henry, his doctor, in Henry's office.
Nobody knows what causes it, and nobody knows how to cure it. The best theory is that we blame a retrovirus, the human immunodeficiency virus. Its presence is made known to us by the useless antibodies which appear in reaction to its entrance into the bloodstream through a cut or an orifice. The antibodies are powerless to protect the body against it. Why? We don't know. The body's immune system ceases to function. Sometimes the body even attacks itself. At any rate, it's left open to a whole horror house of infections from microbes which it usually defends against. Like Kaposi's sarcomas, these lesions, or your throat problem, or the glands. We think it may also be able to slip past the blood-brain barrier into the brain, which is, of course, very bad news. And it's fatal, and we don't know what percent of people with suppressed immune responses.
This is very interesting, Mr. Wizard. But why the fuck are you telling me this?
Well, I have just removed one of three lesions, which biopsy results will probably tell us is a Kaposi sarcoma lesion. And you have a pronounced swelling of glands in your neck, groin, and armpits. Lymphadenopathy is another sign. And you have oral candidiasis. And maybe a little more fungus under the fingernails of two digits on your right hand. So that's why...
This disease.
Syndrome.
Whatever. It afflicts mostly homosexuals and drug addicts.
Mostly. Hemophiliacs are also at risk.
Homosexuals and drug addicts. So why are you implying that I... What are you implying, Henry?
I don't...
I'm not a drug addict.
Oh, come on, Roy.
What? Come on, Roy, what? Do you think I'm a junkie, Henry? Do you see tracks?
This is absurd.
Say it.
Say what?
Say, Roy Cohn, you are a...
Roy, I don't...
You are a... Go on. Not Roy Cohn, you are a drug fiend. Roy Marcus Cohn, you are a... Go on, Henry, it starts with an H.
Oh, I'm not...
With an H, Henry. And it isn't hemophiliac. Come on.
What are you doing, Roy?
No, say it, I mean it. Say, Roy Cohn, you are a homosexual.